wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast. My things just went off. Episode 456 recorded live on June 29th, 2016. I'm your host, Ted Hardhat with...
I'm confused.
Are you? I'm confused too. Shorty Nitz is here too.
Where's Taz?
I don't know. Chime in, Taz.
I'm Taz 427.
All right, you know, if we're going to go with a ball of flames, let's just do it right. You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode, I'm sorry, with all the drinking and the cough syrup. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon logo on our website and help keep our podcast going. Believe it or not, we appreciate it when you do it, and we will get better, I promise. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast...
We're 400 shows and we're not getting any better.
We think... I was going to say, you know, I think it's what it is. You hit that plateau at 400, we're at 457. I mean, we're halfway... Almost to 500.
You jumped the shark when you made me a host.
No, man, are you kidding? That was one of the best things that we ever had happen is had you on. I mean, come on.
So do I sound better? I've got my Behringer board back.
Yes, you do.
I got to give Behringer credit, man. They, that you know, I called them up and I said, hey, you know, my stuff's not working. And they said, all right, ship it to us and we'll fix it. And they had it back in like 3 weeks, which is pretty good. I mean, I sent it to Vegas.
Wow. So,
I had a compression error.
Did you know?
Something was leaking. Compressor was leaking? That's not familiar.
I know, but you'd at least really you'd think you'd hear the hiss.
I did, loudly. It was, it was bad.
Wow. So
it's fixed. I hope it sounds better. But
it does.
We could have the beautiful Jesse Brown on because I have this one that has able to do two mics.
So. That's very nice. Now, how did you manage to get the better compression mic, and she take the standby?
Hey, the standby ain't nothing to scoff at. It's a good mic. It's a Daryl W4 approved mic.
Oh well, there you go.
It's his mic. He left it here, and I commandeered it.
Did you now?
Yeah.
That is wise. Awesome.
You can't go wrong with a Daryl. Look at this thing. It's pretty. Like, it's a Daryl mic.
I know it. It's gorgeous.
It's a. I don't know. What is it? Do you know what it is, Jeff?
How would I know?
It comes with a big case and everything. It's really nice.
Yes, you can tell the quality of the mic by the case of which it comes in.
The case that it comes in, absolutely. And that thing is it's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Daryl doesn't play around with the Walmart of mics.
It
he
looks
really
like
does.
A flute case. I'm telling you, man. It's a big ass case.
That's the way to do it. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, excellent. Good stuff. All right, let's see. This past week, I ended up, this was finally after months, and I do mean months, of time where wife Amy and I did not have to work on the weekend. And so we did a little road trip, went down to the ocean, to the beach, and had a good time in Wilmington. And, you know, you're getting older in life. And especially when you're married and get older in life, because the main thing that you look forward out there is the seafood. So it's like you get all this time off and let's go have seafood. So there you go. That's what you have to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I had a good time. Got a couple of geocaches and just, you know, it's a nice 2-hour trip. So it's one of those things, 2 hours to the ocean, 3 hours to the mountains. We love it.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I love North Carolina. Good stuff.
I've been there. I drove right through it.
You're right through the heart of it.
Right through it.
Awesome. So how'd you do, Scott?
Good. We had a good, actually, weekend. I think a lot of people who listen to the show know I've had an FTF streak, and FTF, one a month, at least one a month, since November of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that's currently, I think, at like 89 months is where it is. And I hadn't had one yet. And it's almost at the end of the month. And I'm like...
Yeah, you were kind of panicking last month, or last week.
I was panicking a lot. And so one went live earlier in the week, last week. It went live in the middle of the week, and it's like, what was it, a 4-terrain, a 4-3,
when
something like that?
Published, it was like a 3-3.5.
Yeah. And so I went out there late at night with another cacher, with Adam. What's Adam's cacher name?
MGB.
MGB, yeah. Some people may remember him from the podcast, the old Chicago Geocache podcast. And me and MGB went for it and couldn't find it. It was, you know, it's up a tree.
Oh.
Tree climb. We climbed, you know, a couple of trees right next to each other. We climbed about 25 feet up. Didn't see anything. Okay. Next day, me and Jesse went. Remember, this is an FTF for me.
Right. You
know? Next day, lunchtime, me and Jesse went because I work from home. Jesse was working close to home that week. And we go. Nothing. Can't find it. So I'm like, okay. And so
we even took a ladder.
I even took a ladder that time.
Wow.
And so I call a buddy of mine who's a climber, Escouse, another name from the podcast, from Chicago Geocacher podcast. I call Escouse because he's a rock climber, and he has no fear. No fear. You know. And so I'm like, dude, come on. We're going to go climb this tree. He's like, all right, no worries. So we go.
In the meantime, we'd gotten some intel that it was 40 feet.
40 feet up.
All right.
40 feet up a tree.
Which is why we didn't find it.
Right. Obviously, I was halfway to it when I went up the tree. So I'm there's no way in hell I'm climbing 40 feet up, you know. So
not without video cameras.
That's where I get Gauss. And so Gauss like, yeah, I'll climb it, you know. And so he goes up there. He climbs it. He gets it. We are 10 minutes late.
Oh.
When we pulled into the parking lot, we saw a car pulling out. We're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, there shouldn't be any other cars back here. Yeah. And didn't realize who it was until
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I hate that.
And so the whole day I'm going 89 months. 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I had thrown in the towel. I tapped out. I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna get it. That's it. You know, you understand, we're in the boonies. Stuff rarely goes live around here. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know,
right,
where I used to be, you know, back in the heart of, you know, but near Schaumburgish, you know, Bussy Woods, where it's caches come out all the time. You know, caches here, if you get one 10 miles away, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so where were we? Where was I? Was I home? One second. One. So another, the cache who put another one out. He pushed another one live, and it was right near the other one. And so me and Jesse are like, we're going for it. We ran, we mm-hmm. grabbed the ladder, we took off, we got up there, and we got the FTF.
All right.
Lived again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was lucky. And what's funny is Gauss knew my struggle that I was having, so he actually put one out right by my house, and I wasn't even home.
Oh,
it went live the next day.
The next day,
and I FTF'd it.
And Jesse FTF'd.
And that one was called Consolation.
Ah, see, and, very nice.
So I wouldn't have gotten that either. I mean, I knew I had a really busy week this week, and I
right.
knew, you know, between I have to actually go to work, which is going to the city. I have two nights with my kids. I have this podcast. I knew I had a busy week where I could just run out of the house and go grab an FTF. You know?
Right.
And sure enough, one of them went live yesterday mm-hmm. when I was with my kids. And it was 0.2 away from my house. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Buffalo Grove, 30 miles away.
Oh. So it's
like, I knew I was done. But like the timing of that other cache was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember last week, just before the show, they were dropping like flies around you. And it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I was getting ready to run. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If it's less than 10 miles, we're doing a mobile.
Right. And I got it. So I'm at 90 months.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
The 93.
Now, do you have any inkling as far as how long this is going to go?
I know.
I mean, now you got to go for 100 because you're there.
Right.
I have to end it at 100 because I'm going to drive myself crazy.
Every month he's sure that's the last month.
Yes.
And you know, this month, well, July, I'll be out here 3 years living with Jesse.
Right.
We just had our 4-year anniversary.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah.
And I've been out here 3 years, and I thought for sure the first month I was out here, my streak would be over. That's it. You know, and it's just luck. It really is luck and timing. Virtually every month.
Wow.
It's luck and timing. Yeah, I don't know how I've kept it going as long as I have. I really don't.
But, divine intervention, I think.
So now that I have a countdown, it's going to end. Like, I got 98 or 99 probably. You know?
Oh, man, I was getting short.
So I have to end it at some point because it's just – I can't keep it. It's yeah. driving myself crazy.
That's amazing. That is
like
amazing.
This week I was driving myself crazy.
So. Awesome. That's great. Well, yeah, you guys sound like you're having
weekend.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a good weekend. I mean, it was a yeah. kid weekend, right? It was a kid weekend, but mm-hmm. it was fun.
That's awesome.
We got a little bit of cashing in, right? Just a little.
Just those. Oh, that was it?
I got one today. Yeah. I went out and took a walk today.
You went and got the constellation.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep that area clean, you know.
Yeah. Every outside my house, yes.
Yeah, so, two from the house. Yeah.
So I took a walk at lunchtime.
There you go.
That was our week.
Now, yeah. I did have to do a quick thing with you, Scott. The Fitbit. Are you actually doing the 16 miles? I mean, how high are you walking on those?
Oh, 16. No, 16,000 steps on 16 miles.
Ah, okay.
16 miles, good lord.
No, I was saying, man, what kind of hiking are you doing?
Right, yeah, the Appalachian. No, I'm averaging 12,000 steps, which is about a little over 5 miles.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm going to get in triple digits one of these days. That's going to be great.
I go for 12,000. That's what I train. Like right now I'm close. I'm at 11.7.
Everybody checks their watch.
I'm at 11,700 steps. So I'll
and for that. Working at home, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Well, I take a walk at lunch every day.
And he paces when he's on phone calls.
Yeah.
So he's literally like wearing a path in the carpet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my
awesome.
Boss, you know, I work from home, so I have a Monday. I have a morning meeting with my boss every day at 9 o'clock, going over what I did yesterday, what I did today, you know, kind of like
sure.
a scrum meeting.
Yeah.
And I pace as I talk. I walk around the house as we talk. And sometimes our meeting, you know, it'll go 45 minutes. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's solid and walking.
He'll chime in. He's like, how many steps you have right now? You know, 'cause he knows. And sometimes I'll even walk, if it's a really nice day, I'll walk outside. And he's like, I hear birds. So I'm like, yeah, I'm outside. I'm walking. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So, yeah, so he knows. So he's jealous because he gets to sit at his desk. Right?
Yeah.
He knows I'm pacing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mr. Taz, how you been doing, sir?
Been doing okay. Nothing is quite as exciting as Scott, but he did make it out to an event this weekend. It was hot out there. It was, you know, running. You know, we've been running triple digits for the past couple of weeks, and I tried to get a couple other caches, but I managed to DNF a letterbox and an unknown.
Wow!
Both of them not reading the. What's that?
DNF both of those?
Both. A letterbox and an unknown. Both because I didn't read the details thoroughly enough and I miscalculated the final on the letterbox I smushed two things. So the unknown, you had to figure out the coordinates for the starting point, and then it was almost like a letterbox with
projection.
Telling you to, you know, follow this pathway down here, go to the end, then turn left and do 75 steps. Well, I did the identify the pathway and do 75 steps. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to the end where it dead ends and then turn left and do the 75. So, yeah, I managed to screw up both of them.
Well, ladies, there you go. Another cause for guys getting lost.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right. There you go.
No, good for you, Taz. At least you tried. That was good.
You didn't get anything else. You just did two DNFs this week, and that's it.
Well, when it's 110
I tried
out
to get them before the event because it's in the next town over, and I had been eyeballing both of them, and I decided, okay, an hour before the event, I'm going to go make the attempt to do these, and I screwed them both up.
Nah. So you did them solo, right?
Yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. We got the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's going on this week with GeoGearheads is episode 235, Randonize XLVII. I don't know, that's 57.6, whatever.
Am I on that show?
No, actually, this one is one that you're not on, believe it or not, or Shorty Neds. Daryl and Chris have another batch of smaller subjects to discuss this week. Mm-hmm. So it's a randomized show.
Monsoon, I know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the full moon. You show up about every 30 days. Coochie, coochie.
I'll try my Daryl impersonation. Well, that's 47, you know, becomes the... The X before the L.
You got to get a little higher. Just a little higher.
The Romans say that the X before the L.
That's right. Before they turned Grogan calendar, they went over to. Let's see. Also, tomorrow on the GeoStevens Reboot podcast, we have geocaching trek tips. Wife Amy and I discuss a collection of helpful hints for geocachers who love to do longer distances once they learn how to talk in finding their geocaches. So if you like hiking and geocaching, we got a whole bunch of collection from other viewers with tips for doing hiking and geocaching. So that'll be tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. And finally, folks, thank you for the people that are in the patron program. It costs money to do podcasts, believe it or not. And we have amazingly thousands of people that listen to the show each and every week, and relatively few that actually are contributing to the patron program to keep us going. For the ones who are, we thank you. For the ones who aren't, why not? I mean, if you can't afford it, we understand. But if you got a few bucks, hey, do me a favor. Go to geocachingpodcast.com, click on the Patreon or the PayPal, and throw us a couple bucks each week. We would greatly appreciate it. And it allows us to keep very expensive and diva-type people like Scott Burks on the show. So we greatly appreciate it. I'm just saying. I was going to say Shorty Nuts, but it was better right with Scott.
So Shorty Nuts did a Jesse had a garage sale over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Last weekend. Did you see my tweet about that at all?
I did not see your tweet on that.
Andy, did you even follow me on Twitter?
I saw about your boy doing the broadcasting on the baseball game.
You don't even follow me, dude.
Do follow you.
So we had a community garage sale. Like, the whole community had it, right? So Jesse's like, let's have a garage sale.
Yay!
And so we have a garage sale. And so at the last second, we have in our garage, you know, we have a whole, like, we're big nerds, so we have a whole thing of geocaching in our garage.
Right.
You know, like, containers and whatnot, you know, stuff like that. And so we have a whole freaking box of GeoSwag, just crap that, you know, when the bag gets empty, you fill up, you know, you figure
right.
out, you fill up the bag. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take the GeoSwag and throw it under a table and put 25 cents on, you know, for everything, for a piece. The only thing that freaking sold was the GeoSwag. That's all it sold. Like,
come on, take the coffee maker. Mr. Coffee was a quality thing 20 years ago.
It was junk. Yeah. I mean, it was stuff that we literally were going to throw into an ammo box and put in the woods.
Right.
I mean, and people were willing to pay a quarter for it.
McDonald's, you know, just crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the typical crap. Yeah. And like,
that's pretty funny.
That's all that sold. No, well,
we sold now. I mean, we did okay.
That was the hot ticket item.
Oh, yeah. Especially for kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the kids, you know, kids were rifling through it.
Happy Meal toys. Come on. Quarter. Go for it.
All right. Yeah.
Made money from geocaching.
So that was that was also our weekend.
Wow. That is a rarity. I'm telling you.
GeoSwag.
Yes. That's excellent. Good stuff. Congrats. All right. We got episode 457, Grandfather Geocaches with Shorty Nets. And Shorty Nets, you know, I don't think we ever actually asked you before. Could you kind of give a brief, quick profile about yourself besides being Scott's main squeeze when it comes to geocaches and stuff?
I'm curious. Well,
that's pretty much all you need to know. guilty by association.
We're sorry.
Right? Yeah, I mean, what do you want to know?
Just a little geocaching profile.
Yeah, I started caching in 2011, actually June of 2011. So I just had my 5-year cacheversary. I have about 7,500 finds or so. I had about 50 finds when I met Scott. So a year into caching, I had like 40, 50 finds in the first year. And then I met Scott and my graph went straight up. yeah.
That's
awesome.
I don't
know. What else do you want to know?
No, it's great when you go with that. Now, I do have to ask, what's your favorite? Because you were just talking about finding people to climb up ladders to get to geocache. What's your favorite type of geocaches you do like to find out of all those?
Out of like a traditional?
Yeah, out of 7,000. What types do you like the most?
I don't know. I like anything different. Anything that takes me somewhere that, you know, I don't get to see every day, or something unique and creative. I mean, that's not to say that I don't enjoy, you know, going for a hike in the woods or a bike trail or something along those lines. Or, you know, I mean, there's even a place for a night of park and grabs that I like it all. I like it all.
That's great.
I like the adventure of it and, you know, the friendship and the camaraderie and spending time with people I like. So, I mean, what's funny is, like, when I first started caching, I didn't really know anyone. It was something that I would do with my son. I was, you know, newly divorced, and I had a four-year-old at the time, and so it was something I thought we could do just for fun with him, and he loves it. He still loves it to this day. He has his own account, and he has a few hides, and, you know, he enjoys it, but that was it. And so then I met Scott, and he was like, yeah, I think at the time when we met, he had about 6,000 or 7,000. And I went, oh my gosh, you know, wow, you're a big shot kind of a thing, you know? And then he took me to my first event, and I went, wait a minute, you mean like, you know, other people? Like, that was totally foreign to me. And he's like, well, yeah, of course. Like, let's go to an event, and I'll introduce you. And it opened my eyes. It was this whole new world to me. So it was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Now, what I got to ask about this, because I have this with Amy. How's the competition between you two when it comes to finding a geocache? Is there who goes for the thing?
No, I don't think there's a competition at all. No. We've cached together so much that we get to know, you know, like, we'll approach ground zero and we each go one way, and I mean, there's not a competition at all. And it's like, one night Scott'll be the one who finds everything, yeah, and I can't find anything at all, you
one
know.
One night somebody's radar is on and the other person's sense is completely off. It happens.
Yep, and we make a good team that way. So
that is awesome. Yeah, because with Amy and me, you know, somebody's tripping somebody or pushing them in a ditch or something like that to try to find it.
She wants to go get it. Go get it. All right, go ahead.
Oh, that's awesome. It's nice to see, for, you know, nice compatibility with things like that. That's always a good way to go. But
we figured out how to make it work.
Yes, it's either that or you trip and kick and push people and. Yeah.
And it's always like, Andy, you know, it's always nice when you have a partner who does it with you. And so,
oh,
you know,
absolutely!
Like, you know, I mean, we're going to, you know, Toby's got a
baseball tournament.
Baseball tournament in Wisconsin Dells this weekend,
right?
Know, which is, for anybody who's know the Wisconsin Dells, it's a big touristy spot. You know. Mm-hmm. Huge water parks and stuff like that. You're gonna have a great time. But we're going out there because it's Toby's game and Jesse's gonna go too. And, you know, we're gonna go to the games and then we're gonna cash the rest.
Right.
Of the game. You know, that's we're awesome. Do. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, so it's
and my sister lives there, so we'll probably go out on the boat for a little while.
Yeah, so that's it's awesome. Be nice to get. We'll get in the woods this weekend. We'll definitely get some woods, mm-hmm. woodsy time.
Yeah, because when I went to the beach with Amy, it was funny because we went by, UNC has one of their campuses on the main road heading down to the beach, and sure enough, Amy's like, "Oh, there's a geocache over there. You remember? That's the one that you couldn't find, and I did." So yeah, you have that too. So that's all part of the fun.
And it's also because we've been dating 4 years. I don't think we've ever taken a vacation that didn't revolve around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one way or the other.
Other than taking the kids to Florida, but we certainly incorporated caching into that.
No, it was incorporated. You know, our navigation was for, you know, how we got there.
It's rare if we go somewhere and don't find a cache. Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, yeah. But every vacation we've taken has been geocaching related.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. I'm very happy with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I'm not a sit on the beach kind of guy much anyway. So
not unless there's stuff around. No, that's absolutely great. All right, so let's kick on to episode 457 with Grandfather Geocaches. Now, Shorty Nitz had brought up, we Scott and I think actually started a discussion with about a reviewer, and Shorty Nitz said that she she wanted to bring up some information about this and to bring up some discussion points with it. So what I ended up doing is in the show notes, I just have different types of grandfathered, if we can touch really, really quick on what is a grandfathered geocache and some of the different ones that are actually out there. And then we'll dig into this thing with the review. So, Scott, I'm going to let you run with this a bit. Do you want to just go over what a grandfathered geocache is? And then we'll hit some of the different ones that are actually out there.
Yeah, sure. You don't have a grandfather. You don't have it on there, do you? Okay, I have to wing it. Yeah, I've written down. A grandfathered cache is basically a geocache that you no longer can create. It's what's out there is out there, and once it goes away, if it gets archived, it's gone forever. But it can no if it's grandfathered in, it's still there, but you cannot make one any longer.
Very good.
Like a virtual. I'm sorry, a webcam is a prime example. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, there's only about four of them. And actually, on one, I'm kind of curious why they even keep that as a grandfathered. The first one that they talk about are virtuals. And with virtual geocaches, it's a cacheless geocache. It's a cache by location that goes that way. There are the webcam caches, which are still out there. The Project Ape cache, the only one left in Brazil.
Yeah.
And the last one that they had on here, let's see. I'm sorry, I was clicking the wrong thing here.
There's the 10-year event.
Now, why would they grandfather that? I don't understand.
Probably my guess is because it has had its own icon.
Right.
Ah. Okay.
Didn't you get Andy? You didn't get that icon?
I actually do have that one. I have the 10-year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesse will never get.
I will never ever get that icon.
Never again.
Same boat.
Yeah.
Geocaching until actually October 11th of 2010, so I didn't get the 10-10-10.
That's
I was one day short.
You know what? Don't feel bad, Jesse. Not this February 29th. Last February 29th, mm-hmm. DNF to cache and didn't go for another one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you had to wait
a leap year.
Oh.
You had to wait 4 years.
Yes, but she was so happy when she got it this year. That's the main thing. I was very happy for her.
So there's also the locationless.
And the locationless,
one. The reverse caches. Yeah, I've never gotten one of those. Those archived before my time.
Yeah, we'll go ahead.
They archived those in 2005.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're gone.
Like, well, no, they're not gone. It's just a separate website now. It's waymarking.
Right.
Yeah,
but
you can do a waymarking.
But there was an icon for
that. Oh, right.
That you cannot get the icon.
Right. Correct. All right, good stuff. So, Shortiness, I'm going to let you just kind of take over with what you want with that, with the discussion that, with the reviewer. Can they go over just a little bit of what that was about, and then we can jump in on it?
Well, basically what I noticed, and I'd love to get, I'd love to hear a reviewer's opinion on this, or, what the other side of it is. But what I noticed was a discussion that I saw regarding a webcam cache, that the camera was down. And so a reviewer actually stepped in and disabled the listing and said, until the webcam is operational again, this listing is disabled. And not only that, but there had been periods of time prior to that the camera had been down. And so people did what most people do if they go to a webcam and the camera's down. You take a selfie showing that you're at that location,
right,
and a note that the webcam is down, and log it as a find. And so the reviewer said that those logs needed to be deleted or changed to a right note, that it could not be counted as a find.
Now, shouldn't that be up to the discretion of the cache owner?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's my question.
That was my comment to Jesse.
That's like, my question.
When do they start policing webcam caches?
Yeah, because, let's draw the numbers down a little bit on here. I don't have the exacts, but there are not that many webcams out there anymore, for one. So this is a minority-type geocache.
Do you know how many there are, Jess? I
knew yesterday, and I don't remember now. I could tell you in a minute. Give me a second.
Roughly 80?
Yeah.
Continue your discussion.
In the hundreds?
Continue your discussion.
Yeah, we'll go from there. So the idea is to be able or to have the, I don't know how you want to put it, unfortunate possibility of a reviewer that's going to complain because the webcam's down, and so he's telling you you're not going to be able to take these. Mm-hmm. And how much is this taking over of, like Chad said, the discretion of the cache owner?
Right.
Okay, there are 321 active webcams worldwide.
Wow.
And that includes several that are disabled. There's probably, I think I ran through this list yesterday, there's probably about 20 or so that are disabled because the camera is down. And whether or not those will be re-enabled or not, depends on if the camera comes back up.
Right.
And so, I found something that says 142 active in the U.S. as of January of this year.
Wow. Okay. So
I just went to geocaching.com and searched. That's where I came.
Okay.
So if you want to figure out of the, close to, we're getting up to the 3 million mark of geocaches and 300, I don't know how many decimal points to the left that is, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, my question is, like, where is this coming from? Is that coming from Groundspeak? Is that something the reviewer just took upon himself to do?
Like a rogue reviewer doing it? Or...
Right, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's where I'd like to...
I would have a big issue when it comes to a reviewer telling me how I'm going to handle my cash. I would have a major issue with how having somebody.
I don't know. Do you have the cash up? And the reviewer was threatening the person, the cash owner, saying, "I'm going to archive this if you don't get those people to change their."
Right.
Yeah. Somebody needs to get off their god podium, because that's just.
Yeah. That's when I was like, that doesn't sound right.
No.
Like if you don't make these people change, if you don't delete their logs, I'm going to archive this cache.
Yeah, like, that's what? Yeah. And I wonder how many other situations are similar to this with other grandfathered things.
But again, is Groundspeak finally doing away or trying to do away with the webcam?
Well, okay, but here's the other thing. Why is it just webcams? Like, why aren't they requiring proof that, you know, all of the cachers have emailed the owner of an Earth cache and
exactly, and that's an ongoing cache type.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And again, that falls on the description of the cache owner.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I've had times where we took the picture, something happened, and it didn't turn out or whatever, and it's like, look, dude, I was here. We described it. I've got other pictures near the area that worked out, but the one at the exact coordinates didn't, and I've had no problem with it.
Right.
So most – actually, I would tend to think all cache owners want you to find their geocaches and to make it as easy enough for you to do it. Requirements aren't even part of geocaching anymore, so why are we making this into such a big deal?
I don't know. It's just interesting that we came across. Where did we come across it? Was that on Facebook?
I saw that somebody had posted.
Yeah,
on
it was
Facebook.
Just like weird, like almost like borderlining on bullying.
Yeah,
from the reviewer.
Exactly.
It was really surprising. Whatever happened to it? You know, you never know what the.
I'm looking at the cache right here.
Traffic jam?
Yeah,
which one that we found. And the funny thing about this cache, okay, this is a cache. It's in Ohio. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
It's a cache. It's in Ohio. And you have to go. You have to stand at a street sign. It's on a major road, like a traffic.
Isn't it? Is that the one by the toll booth?
Well, when we this is the one that we really struggled to find a working cam.
Right, we couldn't find the camera.
Right,
because the original camera wasn't there, or something happened, and so somebody had posted a note on the cache page with a link to another active cam. And so, yeah, I mean, we really struggled to find an active cam that
to get it. I mean, remember, we were on our way home from Daryl.
Right.
I mean, really, you were in Ohio and you see a webcam, you want it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so we were struggling with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we didn't want to leave. We don't want to, like, you know, we didn't want to DNF it or walk away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially when there's so few of them around anymore.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So we got it.
We did get it. Yeah.
But a lot of people didn't take the time and just snap a selfie.
Right.
Right.
You know, we didn't do that. We actually took the time.
Wow. That's something.
And so the reviewer, I mean, here you can see that they sell out the reviewer comments.
You can read through the dialogue.
Give me the GC.
The GC is 9564. It's called Traffic Jam. It's a webcam in Ohio.
Yeah, wow. This isn't secret here. You can go and everybody listening, you can read the whole shebang here.
Yep.
Doing what's going on between the reviewer
and the owner.
Did the owner ever talk back?
Yeah.
Last time I said that, he wasn't getting a response from the owner.
Well, no. The last time it got re-enabled just a couple weeks ago, 6/12.
Right.
And saying that he re-enabled it. Thanks to everybody who changed their non-compliant logs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this thing's got 95 favorite points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a difficulty 3-1. Mm-hmm. And literally, I don't know how people get themselves in the picture myself. Because the webcam is basically this, you know, 5-lane area. And isn't most of the picture where they go all the way to the right? Where did you guys go when you got your picture?
If you look, what's our date?
There's this. We found it in May of 2015?
May of 2015, is it?
Yeah, May 25th, 2015.
Look at Jordan, it's something. She has the photo.
We are
in the bottom
right corner. There's a speed limit sign.
Yeah.
And we're waving.
And
I think so.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so that's amazing. So, and they have no idea when the camera's going to come back in, so
Yeah, so there's another one also in Ohio, and it's Erie Metro Park webcam. It's GC Paul Doug Mary 5, PDM 5, that was disabled because the Metro Parks redid their website.
Right.
And they did not include the link to the webcam on their newly designed website.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Aww.
So that one's down because of that. So, you know, I'm wondering why is it disabled? Did the CO just take it upon themselves and say, "Oh, well, my webcam isn't working right now," or were they contacted by a reviewer and say, "Hey, you better disable this"? I don't know.
Is it the same reviewer?
I'm surprised how quickly they're working on this, because according to this, June 1st, the people that wrote a note about saying they've been exchanging emails with the Metro Parks to try to get it back up. So it's not completely out of the works where it's like there's no reason for this to get shut down.
Right.
And it's, again, 81 favorite points. It's got 572 log visits. I mean, you know, there's got to be a little bit of leniency. And if they're saying, okay, we're working on it, it's going to take some time, maybe we'll get the webcam up as quick as we can. You know, why not selfies? You're there.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I don't understand what the problem is if it's, I mean.
I'm in the park. Here's the coordinates.
Yeah. I mean, you know, taking pictures with the camera.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. We all play our own way. I don't understand why they're policing it.
Yeah.
They haven't policed anything before. You know?
And it's such a, so few of them left.
Yeah, wow. They only have 320 to try to get rid of, so.
Wow. That's something.
How many in the States?
There's 142 active as of January of this year.
Wow. All right. Why don't we go over a little bit, since we already discussed the reviewer aspect. Now, I want people to understand, we love reviewers. You guys are a volunteer group that has a almost thankless job. So we're saying thank you in place of the people that won't, of the work that you guys do and gals. And thank you so much for what you do on it. It's always the exception that kicks off
something
that's gonna bring up discussion. And so for the people that go in day in and day out and help us and put up with the craziness that is okaying a geocache, thank you. So we'll go with that. When it comes to I'm curious also to hear from a reviewer to say, we hear about other reviewers and what their discussion would be about things like that. Because it's easy for us on this side of the fence to sit there and say, they all suck. I mean, come on. Because my thing is 10 feet closer than it should be, I can't have this. That's the kind of stuff that they have to contend with, let alone all the different appeals that they got to put up with stuff. So I'm curious how in the reviewer community, do they all huddle together and just kind of, well, Jim's really messing up here today, and he's not having a great time.
They do talk. I know they do talk.
They definitely talk.
Yeah.
But we have two reviewers in our area, and they're very, very different. And so, you know, when you submit a cache, you're like, oh, I hope this reviewer reviews it, because I know he'll let it go. And the other one, you know, might have some questions for me or whatever. I mean, yeah, like one of them requires a name and a contact information for an LPC in a Walmart parking lot. Like,
there you go.
You know, and I've heard that other reviewers, too, do also. But
for the permission part of it?
For permission, right.
Wow.
Yeah, but one of our reviewers just, okay, whatever. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
You
railroad
know,
tracks,
so,
on the railroad tracks, go ahead.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Listen for the horn. The
that's the hint.
Yeah. You know, as much as I'd actually prefer that, it's still not part of the actual guidelines. So is that over pushing it too much as well for permission-wise to have the actual written name?
I mean, it is part of the guidelines.
It's part of the guidelines, but they don't...
He's not breaking any law. Yeah, he's doing his job.
Yeah, but to actually request the name and the number, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I personally would have no problem with it. I really wouldn't. I think that would be awesome. And actually, you will see, it'll take us another 4 years to get to 3 million, but...
yeah, absolutely. I would love to see stats. I would love Groundspeak to see stats on, like... Where one and a halfs, like the upslope, downslope,
yes.
Where are they from like 2006 to 2016? I'd be curious to see, like, because how many woodsy hides do you find anymore? I mean, I'm you know, in a pretty, you know, I mean, you're in North Carolina, you're in California. I mean, are you guys seeing woodsy hides still come out, or are you seeing mostly just urban parks?
It's still parks. I don't see as much because... I don't know if it's the permission issue or how to get the permission to put them out. It's definitely a lot more urban-ish type hides that I'm seeing.
It's still more urban-ish out here as well. It was in Texas as well.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing, because Daryl actually did an extensive research when it came to the sizes of the geocaches and how it's changed over the years. I haven't seen too much on the difficulty terrains. I'd be
curious to see that.
We'll have to talk to Daryl and see if he can get his geekometer going.
I'll get you by Tuesday.
That's all right.
So I got one interesting thing for you, Andy.
Sure.
I know, you know, I always gush about my area and how we have, you know, we have DuPage, we have McHenry County, and they have these awesome coins, and they have the awesome the books, the
passports.
Books. Oh, yeah.
Know? They give you a coin, and I'm always, you know, kvetching about how awesome it is here.
Yes.
So there's a suburb out here, Andy, you'll appreciate this, called, I'm going to call them right out, Mundelein, Illinois. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Mundelein is, it's just north of Buffalo Grove. Now, Mundelein, what they did about a year ago? About a year ago.
A year or two, maybe.
What Mundelein decided to do? It's okay. It's all right. It'll come back. What Mundelein decided to do was they decided to archive every cache in a park.
Ooh. Why?
Every cache that was Mundelein. I'm going to tell you.
All right.
They archived everybody's caches in parks. Okay? Which, as you can imagine, infuriated.
Oh, yeah.
With no notice.
No notice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
They said, come get your stuff.
Wow.
Then what they did is, what turns out is an Eagle Scout put out a geotour.
An unofficial geotour. Mm-hmm.
So he took all those spots.
Oh!
The Eagle Scout took all the spots and he hit caches. No, wait. It gets. Well, I see Taz over there going, that's not so bad. I'm not done yet.
It gets better.
It gets better. So, not only did he create an unofficial geotour, so they didn't pay their $5K. No. They didn't pay their $5K, but to get a passport, you have to pay $5 to get the passport.
Oh,
it gets worse. You have to pay $5 to get the passport, and then if you get all the caches, you hand in the passport and you get nothing.
Wow.
And you don't even get smileys because most of them on the passport are not even official geocaches.
Oh.
Was this kid's Eagle project?
Yep.
So somebody's on somebody's council.
He needs to have his Eagle revoked.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was reading things on Facebook. There was a thing going on Facebook about it. And they're like, man, that's an easy Eagle project. Like, my kid had a lot harder than that.
Oh,
like,
man.
That's it? That's all he did? Like, I'm not an Eagle Scout. I'm a Jew.
So somebody...
I have no idea what it takes to be an Eagle Scout. I have no clue. But that just seemed very difficult. I'm putting out, you know, 20 caches. I could do that in a day.
Let alone wiping out everybody else in the process.
Yeah, everybody else.
He's got to be, dad's got to be on the council somewhere.
Probably.
That just said, we'll just take care of this so Sonny can get his badge.
Five bucks. So not only are they like, not only do they not pay Groundspeak, but now they're trying to make money off of it.
Wow.
Make money off of the caches. Yeah.
Wow. How long ago was that?
About a year ago.
Wow.
Well, the passport just came out.
The passport just came out?
It just finally was released. There was a big press release, which is why the discussion is current.
Yeah, look up Mundelein, Illinois, Beagle Scout geocaching. You'll find it.
Not
Beagle
Scout. Did I say Beagle Scout?
Beagle Scout? That's the Snoopies.
That's Snoopy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll find it. I know Taz is looking right now.
Yeah, that's uh-huh. something.
Mundlein, M-U-N-D-E-L-I-N-E.
No, E-I-N.
E-I-N? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and you win nothing. They're like, they said, like, well, you might win, like, a T-shirt. We're not sure yet. We don't have the final thing.
Well, it goes against so many different things at once.
It's just a bucket of wrong. I mean, you look at these other places who have done it absolutely correct.
Yes.
You know, and then you look at these guys who just did it the opposite way. It's like they took what everybody did and they flipped it, you know, and they just said, no, we're going to do it this way.
Wow, that's just...
Look at Taz's face. You can see
him reading. Well, Taz was a scout badge, merit badge person.
That's just terrible.
Yeah. Shame.
And how is this being allowed by Groundspeak?
The only thing that I can say positive about it is maybe some family with young kids who's never heard of geocaching walks into the park district and they see this thing and they're like, oh, let's check this out. They pay their $5, not knowing any better.
Right.
Do with the whole thing and they're like, well, that was fun. Let's look up geocaching. And then, you know, maybe it'll turn people into geocachers. I don't know. I'm trying to find something positive here.
I'm having a difficulty time with this because it's teaching them the wrong morals. It's teaching them, you know, the wrong set of accomplishing a project on your own anyways.
Yeah.
And it goes against things that are in geocaching in general. So what the hey?
Yeah, and I remember like last year when they archived, because you might like remember I lived in that area for 10 years,
right?
And I remember when I hunted most of the caches at the archive,
right?
And I remember when just gone, like just boom, like it was like just a
mass archive,
like a mass execution of caches. Yep. Yeah, it was terrible.
Like finding your stuff out on the lawn, come and get it.
Yeah. That is just pretty wrong bad. On so many levels.
And I think at that time, no explanation, too.
Yeah. Right.
There was no explanation at that just...
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're talking about earning and all the rest of this. I'm looking at a picture of the kid, and it's like, all right.
Yeah. Crazy. Isn't that crazy?
All the wrong things.
It's not all perfect here in Chicago.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We like to think so, but no.
Wow. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, Pete. All right. So, yeah, it's an interesting smorgasbord of discussion tonight. This was good. For the people that want to find out more about geocaches, we'll have notes in the show notes about what the different type of geocaches actually are, and you can look it up for yourself. But tonight was a lot more. I liked the discussion about how things get handled. That one just blows my mind. I don't even know how this even got through for something like that.
The Mundlein one?
Yeah. It's like, how did the reviewer allow stuff? How did the other ones go? Didn't the reviewer kind of go, you know what? They archived all this whole trail, and then this one cropped up. You know, I mean, something had to kick off with somebody to realize what's going on with it.
I don't know.
Wow.
What if they're not even listed on geocaching?
Oh, those I can understand, but then again, that's not necessarily actual trails. I don't know.
I don't know if you could hunt in Mundlein or not. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you could place a cache in a Mundlein park. I don't. You know, I haven't been out in Mundlein caching in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you could even. I don't know. I'd have to ask a local if they could even hide in the parks there anymore. You know?
Right.
Because if there's caches that aren't officially sanctioned by Groundspeak, you know, you're gonna, you know, you may find one or right on top of one,
right?
I don't know. I'd have to ask around. I have no idea how that works out there now.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, crazy.
All right, well, good stuff. Well, hey, excellent things. Shorty Nets, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, sure.
Greatly appreciate it. And anytime you've got an opinion for stuff like that, by all means, just let us know. We love it. You are awesome on the show. So, I mean, anytime you want to come on, be our guest.
Yay, Jesse.
Yay, Jesse. All right. I was going to say, Taz, your puppy has got to be grown now.
That thing's got to be huge.
Yeah. He's a little over a year old now, but he's I think he's a wild hair terrier mostly, and he's just a little rambunctious shithead. Ding, ding, ding.
I guess. So, Scott, what type of dog's the one barking?
Taz's.
That's mine.
Oh, that is Taz's.
Yeah, I don't have a dog.
Oh, I was going to say, come on. I didn't know if one of the kids were playing with one or what. So that is Taz. I expected Wolf. So
no.
Dog.
All right. Good stuff. All right, folks. Well, thanks to you for stopping on by. Thanks to Shorty Nitz and Scott and Taz as well. Always great. Now, Scott, you're out next week?
I am out next week, yeah.
Last one, right?
It's. I think so, yeah. It's. Right. I got my T-ball dinner party.
Excellent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So the end of the year dinner party.
Maybe. Wow. Until the next sport comes up.
Yeah, last game's tomorrow. How about that?
Wow.
How crazy is that?
It's been quite a season. Just blew by. Seems like he just started when he wasn't showing up. That was awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. I think it's time to move on here. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube. And the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Gordney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.